Leviticus chapter 16. And there we will read the whole chapter. Please give your attention to the reading of God's holy word. Leviticus 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. And he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats, and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, and make an atonement with him, and shall let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of the incense may cover, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall be sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat in the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself, and for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar around about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of the reconciling, the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he shall let go the goat for the scapegoat, shall wash his, and he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. They shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, for all their sins, unto it once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now ask that the Lord bless us as we hear his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you truly would illumine our hearts and our minds this morning as you speak to us through your word. Be with us, Lord, each one of us, as we meditate upon this today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friday, October 7, 2011, that Friday evening, as the sun began to set, I think it would be safe to say that millions of Jews around the world, the men put on their yarmulkes, the men and women alike put on their prayer shawls, and they went to their local tabernacle, temple, place of meeting, and they began to celebrate what we just read about in the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. They would then spend the next 24 hours, roughly from sundown to sundown on the 7th and 8th of October, fasting. There would be times of confession, of singing songs of repentance and confession, hearing the Old Testament read, hearing the words of their tradition read to them. Many prayers would be offered. They would deny themselves many, many pleasures. Even an interesting thing in modern observance of the Day of Atonement, they don't wear leather shoes, thinking of leather shoes as something of a pleasure. And so they wear other footwear. But they spend their day, that 24-hour period, in a time of repentance and reflection and meditation. It's interesting, if you go online and look on Wikipedia, there's a picture of Tel Aviv, the greatest of the Jewish cities now over in Israel. And on the Day of Atonement, there is almost no people out. The highways are almost completely empty. Everyone stays home. Even the most liberal of Jews finds a way to participate in the Day of Atonement. But for thousands of years, there has been one thing that has been missing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though He has come so long ago, they still do not hear and understand and know that this sacrifice, this day, has been completed in Him. And they no longer worship as God commanded them to worship. For the Lamb of God has come. He has shed His blood. And they worship an untrue God now. It was a few weeks ago, I was teaching in one of my Old Testament classes. We were going through the book of Leviticus. And I knew that I would be coming here to celebrate the Lord's Supper with you. And I had that in the back of my mind all the time as I was listening and teaching my students. And one day we're reading through the book of Leviticus and we came to this chapter, Leviticus 16. And one of the students was standing and she was reading and I started thinking to myself, this would be the perfect passage to preach on as we come to the table of our Lord in the Lord's Supper. But I was busy, and there were so many things to do, and I didn't want to go through the effort of writing a new sermon. So, Lord, I'll find a different one. I'll go through my barrel, and I'll find one that I've preached before. So I went through all my other communion sermons, and the Lord kept dragging me back to Leviticus 16. It was wonderful, but it was difficult. Because the Lord kept bringing to my mind Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement. That is what I want you to preach on when you come to a communion service, this communion service. And so we find ourselves today in Leviticus chapter 16, in the Day of Atonement. In the book of Leviticus, this is the high point. This is a turning point. All of the sacrifices and all of the instruction, they find their climax and their culmination in the Day of Atonement. The book changes from this point on. It is on this day that everything that they have been taught comes to bear, as the priest makes atonement for God's people. It is the most important day of the year in the Jewish calendar. But as I said, it is without Christ. And so today, as we meditate on this passage, I suggest we use this theme, that the Day of Atonement found fulfillment in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which today we see represented in the elements, in the sign and the seals of the Lord's Supper. So the Day of Atonement found fulfillment in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Three things that we'll look at this morning. First, our need for atonement. Second, our atonement accomplished. And third, our life in response to atonement. So our need, our atonement accomplished, and our life in response to atonement. So first then, our need. You notice that as we began reading in Leviticus chapter 16, that there is an experience that the writer refers to as Moses. He refers to something that happened in the past. And the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had offered before the Lord and died. Actually, in the Hebrew, there's another word there. Offered a profane sacrifice. A bad sacrifice. And so if you go back to Leviticus chapter 10, we'll read about that. Leviticus chapter 10, at the very beginning of the chapter, the first two verses. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And so the Lord here is bringing to mind that historical now event of what happened. You see, no one can just enter into the presence of God without doing so the way that God has commanded. And we see there a very distinct, a very sure, a very convincing idea that we are separated from God. That we cannot just go see Him whenever we want. Nadab and Abihu, they put together the sacrifice, this hodgepodge of materials, and they threw a bunch of fire and they went tromping through the veil into the Holy of Holies, into God's very presence. And it's interesting there, the word describing how the fire came out of the Holy of Holies to consume them is literally the word to eat, to devour in a violent, eating, consuming way. And so God's holiness, which we read in Hebrews chapter 12 at the end of the chapter, that God is a consuming fire. And that if we do not come into His presence in the way that He has shown us, that His holiness, His consuming fire will destroy us. And so there is a separation behind us. It is a separation that maybe you have experienced as you feel as if God is far away. It is the reality of who we are because of the fall. So that's the problem. What is the problem? The problem is sin. Ever since our parents, Adam and Eve, have sinned, there has now been a separation between us and God. No longer can we, like Adam, walk in the coolness of the day and have a face-to-face, as it were, conversation with our Creator. But we are separated by an eternity of sin. God's holiness is offended by our actual even presence. Our even existence is an offense to God and His holiness. And so we are no longer able to come before Him. We are no longer one with Him in fellowship and friendship. And so this passage reminds us, teaches Israel, that they need to be atoned for, made holy. It's interesting if you look at the word atonement. It's got built right into our English word, what needs to happen. At one meant. The action of bringing together, the action of making one, that is what atonement does. It brings us back into one relationship with God that has been severed and broken by our sin. Did you notice all of the preparations that were in place here in this passage for making this possible, the preparations that were underway? Aaron, the high priest, would have to bathe himself in a very sincere and ritualistic way, not only just filled with ritual, but actual cleansing of his skin. A demonstration or a symbolic gesture of purifying him, of washing away his sin so that he can come before God, washing the vileness of his sin away. There is also special clothing. Children, you remember from maybe your Sunday school lessons or your own study that the garments that the high priest was supposed to wear were quite extravagant, filled with gold and precious jewels. Gems and stones, it was quite flashy, I imagine. But here, God commands Aaron to put on very, very simple linen clothes. Very, very white. Again, symbolizing the holiness and the cleanliness that he must have to come before the Lord. We saw then how he was to kill a bull and then through that make atonement for his family. To make a covering sacrifice that they would be covered, that their sins would be paid for. So that as Aaron approached God through the Holy of Holies, that he would no longer have those sins uncovered by the blood of an animal. But they would be forgiven through that sacrifice. And so Aaron made atonement for his family. And then using some of the blood from the animals, he would go and he would make atonement for the various articles of the tabernacle. The tent itself, the different furnishings, he would go and sprinkle blood in front of them, perhaps touching them so that the blood would touch them, so that they would be atoned for, so that they would be covered by the blood of the atoning sacrifice. All of these things were done in preparation so that he could enter into the presence of God. Do that one thing that would only happen once a year because of sin, making him an outlaw, but God welcoming him this one day. But all of this blood had to be spilled. All of this blood had to be spread out around the tabernacle to cover the sin of the people. And so many sacrifices had to be made. Much blood had to be sprinkled. Romans chapter 12 talks about the sacrifice that we bring as New Testament Christians. You and I are to bring a sacrifice of praise. You and I are not to bring a sacrifice of a ram or a goat and take that blood and sprinkle it before the Lord, but you and I come into His presence and we bring a sacrifice of praise. So let's think for a moment about our approach before God. Think about our approach as we come before God, as we bring before Him our sacrifice. Where are our hearts? Where are our minds? Look at what Aaron had to go through. As he's scrubbing his skin and he's realizing, if I don't do this right, if I am not mentally and in my heart prepared to see God, I will no longer exist. I will be consumed and damned by His consuming fire. I must prepare myself to come into His presence. And so as we come into God's presence to bring before Him our sacrifice of praise, are we that serious? Are we any better than Nadab and Abihu as we bring before God a profane, a confused, a unworthy sacrifice before God? Do we bring before Him an impure worship because we're so distracted about what's going on in our lives? Are we so distracted about the conversation we had last night with a friend? With the football game that we watched? With the shopping list that we want to complete? With the work that we do have to do tomorrow? Do we bring an impure worship because we're to bring a sacrifice of praise? And as we stand and as we sit and as we hold the hymnal in front of us, we do little more than a murmur. Our lips maybe don't even move. We don't make a sound. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise. And yet our mouths never move. Our sacrifice of praise is impure and incomplete. Do we come having a heart of worship to come before our Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth? And we're thinking, look at what I get to do today. I get to meet with my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer. Do we come for the wrong reasons? Do we come because that's where I'll see my friends? That's where I have my social outing for the week? There are many, many impure reasons why we come into the presence of God. Psalm 24 says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. Well, brothers and sisters, there is a reason why that we can come. Even with our convoluted and messed up hearts, even with our impure sacrifice of praise, we can come into the presence of the ever-living God because of Jesus Christ. We are able to approach Him through the altar of prayer and through praise and through worship, bring before Him our sacrifice, even with profane worship, because Jesus Christ has gone before us. He has in Himself already taken that consuming wrath, that burning fire that would be due to you and me, and He has taken that upon Himself. He has absorbed it. He has extinguished it for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and call Him Lord and Savior. For you, you have His protection. That consuming fire will not touch you. For He was consumed on the cross, as His body was broken and as His blood was spilled out for you, as His blood was shed. As He suffered the abandonment of His Father, as His Father's face turned away from Him and He suffered hell itself, that consuming fire, He did that for you and for me. For those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of that that we can now come before God. We can come before Him with those clean hands that the psalmist said. Who can ascend the hill? He who has clean hands. And gee, because of Jesus Christ, you have clean hands. And you can ascend the holy hill into the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. An atonement does not need to be done every year. But Jesus Christ has done it once for all time. No longer do you need to do it every year. It is because of Jesus Christ that you are made holy. That you are washed in His blood and made pure. And you are given new, pure robes to wear, the righteous robes of Jesus Christ, so that you can go boldly, as Paul writes, boldly into the presence of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is all yours now, because He has accomplished atonement for you. But here in the book of Leviticus, we can see, and the writer Moses paints a picture for us of what the Israelites experienced to teach them about what they needed through atonement. And so our second point is our atonement accomplished. So let's look at the sacrifices very briefly. First, there is the bull. This was to make a sacrifice as a sin offering made for Aaron and his house. After all, the wages of sin is death. And this sacrifice paid the price of his sin as the high priest before he went into the presence of God. There was the ram. This was a burnt offering, as it's described here in the passage. Now, if you were to go back and through the end of Exodus and the beginning of Leviticus, scour through the pages, the burnt offering has many, many different uses. But here, I think very specifically, the burnt offering is accomplishing one of those, and that is the total dedication of those who are involved in this service. And so here, the ram is sacrificed as a wholehearted devotion of those who are offering it, the people of Israel. And so it was a symbol. It was almost a profession of faith by the people of Israel. That just as this whole ram is devoted to the Lord for this purpose, we as the people of Israel are making this profession of faith that we are this devoted to this atonement. And the second and probably the most, or the third, excuse me, probably most famous of the sacrifices for this day are the two goats. One of these goats would be sacrificed and its blood would be used as the blood of atonement. The blood of this goat specifically would provide atonement for and a covering for the sin of the articles in the tabernacle and for the people to cover the sin of the unholiness of the people of Israel. And the second goat is where we get that word, which is so common in our language, the idea of the scapegoat, in which Aaron would place his hands on the animal and symbolically, spiritually, symbolically speaking, place the sins of God's people, and then the goat would be taken away, and those sins would be taken away from the people, never to be seen again. The words of Psalm 103 fit very well to describe what is happening here. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. That is the scapegoat, removing those transgressions so far away from us. Well, another aspect of the application and the doing and the accomplishing of the atonement is the idea of blood and what that does. I'm sure as you're reading that passage and then you're thinking about it, it's like there is a lot of blood talk in this passage. And really when we start thinking about it, it can really be quite gross and disgusting. But it has a purpose, a very holy purpose. And we can see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. The book of Hebrews is a testimony to the greatness of Jesus Christ as the mediator and as the high priest. And chapter 9 is a long discussion about the blood of Christ and the purpose of the blood of atonement. So, Hebrews chapter 9, we'll begin reading at verse 19. Verse 19 of Hebrews 9. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. And so especially there, that verse 22, it describes for us the importance of blood. That it is only through that sacrifice. It is what God has said. It is what God has designed that the things would be made holy before Him by the blood of another. And that's another important aspect is the idea of covering. is that atonement literally means to cover. And we see this going all the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way back to the garden. As Adam and Eve threw the whole population of the world to come into sin, they tried to cover their shame. Remember, children, by sewing together leaves and making for themselves their own fashions to cover their sin. But God demonstrates right there at the beginning of time that because of sin, that sin could only be covered by death and by blood, symbolized in the skins of the animals that God slaughtered and made coats for them to wear. And so when God made those skins for Adam and Eve, it wasn't just the newest fashions on the face of the earth. It was not just something for them to wear that would be more durable than those leaves that they sewed together. But it was because of the blood of the animal covering over that their sin that they would be found acceptable before God. Remember that the fact that they understood and were ashamed that they were naked was a symbol of their sin. And so God covers over that sin with the skins and the blood of an animal. The sin of Aaron, as he went into God's presence, needed to be covered, for God is holy and sin cannot stand before Him. The blood of those animals and the clean clothes were what God required as symbols or substitutes of holiness, of the holiness that they needed to approach God in all of His glory. Remember, Nadab and Abihu. Remember that, and that picture that that provides for us. But more importantly, remember the picture that Christ has given us in the Lord's Supper as we celebrate it today. That we don't just celebrate it because it's this very solemn and really in many ways simple but yet beautiful ceremony. But it is a picture of the body of Jesus Christ being broken and His blood being spilled out to cover our sins. It is a substitutionary atonement, as we see that in those animals that were sacrificed for the various purposes of this day. It was someone else doing it for you and for me. For Israel, it was, imagine, going to church, and it literally would have looked like a zoo. Because this family over here, they had a bull, and the ones behind them in line, they had a ram, and the ones behind them, they had some pigeons. And behind them, they had some lambs. And behind them, there were some goats. And all of these animals were being brought to the temple. And so you would have heard every imaginable sound of a farm and a barnyard and the zoo. And with animals come a lot of smells that are objectionable to many of us. There would have been, as those animals were led closer to the temple, they would have known and understood by the smells of the smoke that filled the air, and the bleeding of the animals as they were preparing to be slaughtered, and the smell of the dried and burned blood would have been everywhere. All as a picture so that God's people would understand, this is what your sin means to me. Death, fire, destruction, and all these disgusting things. This is what your sin means to me. But yet, I will accept the life of this animal so that you don't have to suffer that. And so in Jesus Christ, as His body was broken and as His blood was spilled out for us, God says, I accept this sacrifice so that you and I can now come to church in a clean environment. I don't think there's any animals waiting out there to be slaughtered and sacrificed today. Maybe for lunch, but other than that, that's it. We come and we're all clean. We've all taken our showers. We smell good because of Jesus Christ and the atonement that He has made for us as He sacrificed Himself. It is not my own that I have to do and supply that blood, but it is Christ alone who does it for me, for you, so that we can live as we are now, so that we can now enter into the presence of God boldly, because we are covered by His sacrifice. And so today, when you see that bread broken, don't just think of it as that. Don't think of it in an idol way and worship it as an idol. But think about the body of our Lord broken and His blood being spilled out. in the context of needing atonement. Well, in response to this atonement that Christ provides for us, there is indeed a life that must be lived. And our life must be lived in response to what has happened. And it was for Israel as well. And we see that beginning in verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. And so this was to be a perpetual practice, something that was to happen all the time until Christ would come. They were to do it every year so that they would see the terrible power of their sin, but also remember God's grace, His forgiveness through another, the substitute. That substitute was needed even for them. In Hebrews 9, verse 9, it says, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to their conscience. And so Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, all those sacrifices, they weren't able to make anyone perfect. But the blood of Christ can. There is a perpetual need to be reminded of this, that apart from Christ, we would be broken, that our blood would be spilled. His sacrifice was once for all time, for all those, for all the elect, for all those who would love the Lord Jesus Christ, sufficient to cover all their sins. And so it was a perpetual yearly time of remembrance, but it was to be a time for rejoicing as well. Think about it for you and me as we celebrate this. No rams, no goats, no fire, no death, no blood. Just the blood of Jesus Christ. But also in that same verse 21, they are to afflict themselves. Verse 29, they are to afflict their souls. Literally, that means to be humble, to humble themselves as they witness what is going on. When we see this before us this morning through the elements, we see the scapegoat fulfilled for your sin and for mine. As we witness during the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the grape juice, as signs and seals of the breaking of Christ's body and the spilling of His blood, are we humble? Do we humble our souls? Are we afflicted? Should we not be humbled? Humbled to the dust because of the grace of God shown to us as He condescends to our abilities and gives us a visual aid that we would understand what is going on. We deserve to be the one who was sentenced to die outside the camp as Jesus Christ was. Yet instead, we find ourselves welcomed into the presence of God, welcomed into the body of Christ, even though we deserve so much less. Are you one who suffers with pride, with an attitude that you don't need this, that it doesn't mean much, that it's merely tradition, this thing that we do today? How can you deny what you see and hear in the gospel? How can you deny what you see in Jesus Christ? For Jesus Christ has done what no human being ever could do, and it was ripped the veil of the Holy of Holies open so that we could boldly go into the presence of God, ripping in, just taking that separation and wiping it away so that we have fellowship with Him. A fellowship that is designed to be enjoyed with the idea of rest. We find that in these verses as well. Verse 31. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. I love how the Heidelberg Catechism describes what that rest is supposed to be like. The rest is supposed to be a cessation or a resting from our evil ways and resting from sin. It is to be a resting in Christ and in the providence of God and resting in His grace as He provides for His people. And it is to be a rest through which we have a taste of heaven, a small taste for sure of the communion that we enjoy around the table, around the Word, because we are part of the body of Christ. That is the rest that we are to have in Christ. Hebrews again describes this for us in Hebrews 10. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Christ now rests from his work as the high priest in offering the sacrifice. And so because of that, we can rest in him and find our rest through that grace. Well, the Israelites were told to keep Yom Kippur as a perpetual day of atonement. Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper as a perpetual remembrance until He would return to remember His sacrifice, to remember the cross and how He has atoned for our sins, to remember how His blood covers us and that we can now enter into the presence of God because of Him. It is because of Him that we have that at-one-ment that we need through Him. We can have that real fellowship because of the sacrifice and because of the scapegoat known as Jesus. Let's pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord. Those words don't even quite express it, Lord, for the grace that You show us in Jesus Christ, for His blood shed for us, lowly sinners. And so, Lord, we pray that by Your Spirit, You would apply this fact, this reality to our hearts and lives. Even now as we receive and take part in the Lord's Supper, but also, Lord, as we go into the week and our lives that are ahead of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.